Take your Bibles tonight, Romans chapter 12. Hopefully we'll finish up chapter 12 tonight and start verse 13, a few verses. But you remember Romans chapter 12, we're in the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. The first eight chapters of the book of Romans was the doctrinal section, what we believe, and then 9 through 11, we talked about Paul was dealing with a couple issues, but in chapter 12 is the practical section about how the doctrine should affect how we live. And the Bible and what the Bible says should affect how we live. It should affect our practices, our way of life. And so just to, by way of quick review, Romans 12 starts out in verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. Paul's writing to the church at Rome. He's writing both to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. He says, by the mercies of God, all the things that he talked about when he talked to us about the doctrine, justification, sanctification, all the things that God does for us. Based on those, Paul is asking the brethren, beseeching the brethren to present or yield their bodies a living sacrifice. Again, this verse would apply to us as well, that we present our bodies as living a sacrifice. He says, don't be conformed, pressured, or molded by the world. That's what the world tries to do. It tries to put pressure on us, tries to put us in a mold so that we will accept what they think is important. And Paul says, don't do that. He says, be ye transformed, changed at your very nature, changed at the very basis of what you are. And that's done by the renewing of our mind. And again, Sunday night, we talked about how to think and that we need to have the mind of Christ, that we may prove, test or try the will of God, that he has for our life, the plan that he has for each of our lives, that it's good, it's always right, that it's acceptable, that of course it's acceptable to God because it's his plan. And as we test it, we'll find out that it's acceptable to us too. If we test the will of God, we'll find out that his will for our life is better than our will for our life. And perfect. And that word perfect means it will accomplish what God wants accomplished through our life. And so the rest of chapter 12 and 13 and 14 talks about what that transformed life looks like. In verses 3 through 8 of chapter 12, we talked about the transformed life as a life of humility. In verses 9 through 16, we talked about how the transformed life looks to other believers in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. And we start in verse 17 tonight, talking about how the transformed life looks to the world. Looks to the world. So look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17, where the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. What that verse is saying is that when we are wronged, our natural instinct is to, you know, get back at that person or fight or to assert ourselves, right to wrong. But what Paul is saying, this transformed life that we have in Christ, as brought about by the renewing of our mind, there is no room in it for retaliation. There is no room in it for getting back at other people. When we do that, usually, in the vast majority of the cases, when we try to right a wrong and get back at somebody, we lose our Christian testimony. We lose our testimony. And so the second part of that verse says that we need to live our life in an honest way, an above board way. The last part of verse 17 is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, where the Bible says to live honorably and righteously before the world, just as if we're living that way before God, because we are. God looks at how we live for the before the world, and he wants us to do it in an honest way. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We must do what we can, as much as we can, to live in harmony with those in the world. Not offensive, not obnoxious. Now, there's going to be times, and we're going to talk about it when we get to chapter 13, where we may have to be offensive to the world. We need to stand for the things of God. And if the offense that we offer to the world comes from our loyalty to God and loyalty to the cause of God, that's okay. But if we can, we need to live in harmony with others. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Let me go ahead and read the rest of the chapter. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, Paul's making a point. Vengeance has no place in a Christian's life. We need to make room, as that verse says there in verse 19, we need to make room for divine retribution. We need to let God handle the vengeance. And if we give place to God and let him handle the wrong that has been done to us, it will be a whole lot better than us trying to handle it ourselves. Where the Bible says there in the book of Romans, as it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 35. And so if we give place to God, let him handle the retribution that we think another person deserves. Let him take care of the vengeance. Paul says this, go one step further. Not only turn it over to God, but do something good for the person that's done you wrong. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Now again, goes against our old nature. But we're talking about the transformed life. We're talking about the life that's been changed at the very basic level by the renewing of our mind. A transformed life says, I'm not going to get back at somebody that's done me wrong. I'm going to leave that to God. In fact, I'm going to do good. I'm going to feed him if he's hungry. I'm going to give him something to drink if he's thirsty. I'm going to meet a need in his life. And in, the Bible says, in so doing, we shall heap coals of fire on his head. Now again, don't let your old nature take that and say, okay, if I do good to him, then God's going to get him. God's going to pour out fire and brimstone or coals of fire on his head. That's not what that verse is saying. That actually is a quote from Proverbs, the 25th chapter. There's a couple different meanings. There was an Egyptian ritual that a man showed repentance by carrying a pan of burning coals on his head. It was a symbol of the change that had taken place in his life. So that's maybe one interpretation that Solomon, when he wrote Proverbs, was aware of that Egyptian ritual, and he put it in the instruction, or David put it in the instruction that he gave it to Solomon. The other interpretation of it is that if we do good, instead of retaliating, and we do good to another person, that we will create perhaps a change of mind in them toward us. It's a way, again, we show that transformed life. What the world expects is when they do somebody wrong, they expect somebody to get revenge. They expect somebody to do them wrong. They expect payback. That's what the world expects because that's what the world does. But we as Christians that have been transformed by the renewing of the mind do something that's unexpected. Instead of returning evil for evil, we return good for evil. Instead of getting back at them, we do something good. And so that last verse, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, you're going to have to fight an internal battle because internally, your old man, that sinful nature that we're all born with, that's still around when we get saved, that we're not going to get rid of until we go to be with the Lord, is going to say, hey, he doesn't deserve something good. He deserves something bad. He treated you bad. You treat him bad. That's the way it goes. You're going to have to don't be overcome by that. Overcome that evil with good. By doing good to that person. All right, so let's start chapter 13 tonight. Again, chapter 13 is talking about a transformed life. That's a life of subjection. And the first seven verses of chapter 13 talking about believers being in subjection to the state, to the government. Now listen, you know that Paul had to say something about this. The church at Rome were Christians, both Gentiles and Jews, that lived under the Roman Empire. They had lots of questions of how loyal they should be to the Roman Empire and how that stacked up about their loyalty to Christ. You remember, some people asked Jesus one time, "Shall we pay tribute to Caesar?" And you remember Jesus' answer. He said, "Let me see a coin. Whose image is it?" And they gave him a coin, and they said, "Well, it's Caesar." And he said, "Well, give to Caesar what's his, but give to God what's his. Paul, a couple different times, was taken before Roman rulers, governors, and different things. And he was accused before the Roman rulers of promoting a religion that was subversive to the Roman Empire. And yet when Paul stood before those Roman governors, those Roman rulers, he was very respectful. He treated them with honor. He preached to them. He preached the gospel. He said, "I'm not trying to overthrow the government. I'm representing my God. I'm representing my Savior." And so there was a lot of questions in the church about, should we be subjects of the Roman Empire? And so in the first seven verses, Paul deals with this issue. He says in verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So what Paul's saying, for the most part, you ought to be obedient to the state. For the most part, you ought to live under subjection to the law and be governed by those that are in office. Because, Paul says, there's no government authority that exists except that which is ordained by God. God establishes rulers, and when he's ready for them to be done, he takes them down. So he puts kings in their place. He takes kings out of their place. Now, again, Jesus taught this truth. You remember when he stood before Pilate at his trial, and he was silent? And Pilate said, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" You remember what Jesus said? "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Even Pilate, the one that washed his hands and said, "Go ahead and crucify him if that's what you want," was put in power, ordained by God. And so Paul says, since everybody that's in power was put there by God, we need to be subject to their authority. Verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Since God put them in power, if we disobey, if we dishonor, if we oppose them, then we're not only going to answer to the state, we're going to answer to God. And he is going to punish us for not submitting ourselves to those that he has put in authority over us. And so to unlawfully and unethically resist government brings the judgment of God on Christians. Verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same." So God's purpose in setting up government is that it restrain wickedness and promote virtue. That kind of government Christians need to submit themselves to. The Declaration of Independence was written rebuking King George III for promoting wickedness and tearing down virtue. And so we are never, as Christians, to be in subjection to a government that promotes wickedness. But if we have a government that's promoting good and fighting wickedness, then God says, my expectation is that you will submit yourselves, subject yourselves to them. Verse 4, for he, the one that's in authority, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so, a government authority put there by God is a minister or servant of God. And if we rebel against that servant of God, that minister, that government authority, that minister of God, has the right by the state and by God to punish us. They have the right to do that. You might say, well, the preacher just believes that we ought to blindly do whatever the government says. I'm not saying that. If the government tells us to do something that goes against the law of God, then we ought to rise up in rebellion. We ought to rise up and stand for what? For right. We ought to rise up and stand for God. If the laws of the state contradict the laws of God, then we ought to respectfully fight them. We ought to respectfully disobey them. Verses 6 and 7. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, again, to be a good citizen, to be the kind of citizen that God wants us to be as a transformed believer, we need to give government authority their due. Tribute is a tax levied on persons or property. We ought to pay our taxes on our income, on our property. Custom is tax levied on goods. So it would be like a sales tax. We ought to pay our sales tax. Fear is reverence. If we disobey, we ought to fear the punishment, not only of the state, but the punishment of God. We need to respect the laws. Honor means that we have no right to speak in a disrespectful way of the state or an officer of the state. For the sake of Christ, we need to give honor to those who are his ministers as evidence that we're giving honor to God. Now, I know a bunch of people, and there's some people here tonight, will say, oh, just a minute, Paul, you don't know the kind of world we live in today. You don't know the government that we have today. You don't know the laws that they're passing today. The government that we have has no right to expect any respect or any honor from us, because it's a government that is trying to take God out of everything, changing the laws of God. Paul, there's no way you should expect us to respect that kind of government. And if I ask you to hold your hands, I'm sure there would be some here tonight. That's the way I feel. But I want to remind you of something tonight. And don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at the Apostle Paul. Okay? I'm just telling you what he said. The Apostle Paul wrote these words when Nero was the emperor of Rome. His mother, who sat at his side, killed and tortured thousands of people, and he allowed her to do that. She did it just for her pleasure. He killed because he thought he was a threat to his throne. Nero killed his 14-year-old stepbrother. And later, because he thought his mother was getting too close to taking over the throne, he had her killed. He banished his first wife to an island, and that wasn't good enough, so he sent soldiers there to chop her head off. He married a second time, slaughtered his second wife. You would think that nobody would marry him after that, but I don't know if he had a third wife or not. And so the world in which we live, the government which we have, all of us would say, hey, there's things that they're doing that I don't agree with. There's things that they're doing that are going against the laws of God. I don't know how Paul can expect me to respect or pay honor to somebody like that. I'll just remind you tonight, when he wrote these words, there was a whole lot of bad stuff going on. And if anybody could say, hey, this is an authority that should have no respect of the Christian, just, you know, sometimes we want this stuff to be easy. Sometimes we want to understand it completely before we do it. I want to tell you tonight, there's going to be some things in the Christian life that are not going to be easy. There's going to be some things in the Christian life that we will not understand completely, but our lack of understanding does not negate the responsibility that we have to just do what this book says. Again, I hope you don't get mad at me tonight. I'm just telling you what the book says. Let's just do what the book says. And again, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes sometimes we want to join in the conversation and tear our leaders down and tear the institutions down. And I just ask you to think, when you get into a situation like that, are they going to see my Christianity? Are they going to see a transformed life if I join in and do that? Paul says they're not. They're not. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.